you, Pastor. Everybody praise the Lord. Let's have a good Alpha location. Amen. Father, we thank you and bless your name. You are great God, mighty God, the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. You know everything. You are everywhere and you can do all things. Tonight we come. We come in your presence as souls, as creatures, as the one you have created, as believers, as those who know already who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And Lord, we pray, everyone from outside, everyone inside will have a touch of the liberating God tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Our lives will be turned around. Amen. Our families will be turned around. Amen. Our personality will be turned around. Amen. Lord, manifest your power in every life tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Set your people free. Free to live like children of God ought to live. Take every form of sin, sickness, shame away from everyone today. Magnify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God has blessed you. You can sit down. Remember once again, we're coming to this crusade on Jesus, the miracle worker. Take that word, miracle. M is the mercy of the Lord that he shows us and he gives us miracles of mercy. I, he is the intercessor, impartial. He intercedes for everyone. He interceded for the world. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He interceded for the church. He said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He intercedes for us even today. R is the reigning redeemer, for the repentant and for the righteous. When you repent and you turn away from your sin and you come from the far country as a prodigal son, as a prodigal daughter, as a prodigal man, as a prodigal woman, as a prodigal sinner, you come and you return to the Lord. He is the Redeemer who forgives, who changes our lives, who turns us to the righteousness of the Lord. And he is the almighty advocate, an advocate that is able to forgive and set free, an advocate that pleads our cause, and not only that, empowers us not to go doing those evil things we did before. Is the advocate with all authority. And we've looked at, see, the compassionate Christ with complete care. Today we come to the L, the loving Lord, and is with limitless liberation. Liberation for everyone tonight in Jesus' name. Jesus, the loving Lord, with limitless liberation. We're coming to Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach, proclaim, declare the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty. To set at liberty. He will loosen every cord that binds you tonight. every chain that binds you, it will break every yoke in Jesus' name. All the fetters around your leg, around your hand, all the bandage that blocks your eyesight, is going to remove that bandage tonight, and everything will become clear in your life. There'll be salvation today. There'll be healing today. There'll be deliverance today, because he is to set at liberty them that are bruised. He will set me free. He will set me free. The amen you are saying is for me. Say it for yourself. Look at verse 21. In verse 21, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. There's going to be a fulfillment in your life today. The sin, salvation will be fulfilled in your life today. Amen. A believer, sanctification, holiness, full redemption will be fulfilled in your life today in Jesus' name. You will not come in vain. If you're a believer and you are there and you think everything we're seeing is for the sinner, and you don't have a blessing, the sanctification, the holiness, the purification of your heart, that he takes away that depravity from your life and he makes you to have the heart of the new covenant believer. Sanctification and holiness, if you don't have that and you just say, well, it's for the sinners, then you come and you go back in vain. You will not go back in vain in Jesus' name. He gives us redemption. He gives us the power to turn into a new life. And you say you are a believer and everything is, if you believe on the Lord, raise up your hand, and that's all you think. And the power to live in righteousness and to make the necessary restitution in your life, you don't have that. I went to crusade, I was saved before I enjoyed everything. You didn't enjoy everything, because the power to live in a new life has not come unto you. But today you will not go back home in vain in Jesus' name. New life will come to everyone, and the new love that he says you love your brother as yourself. You've been, as I've loved you, and you've been struggling and struggling with that. Everyone should understand that the crusade is for us. It's for the sinner. It's for the outsider. It's for the insider. It's for everyone that comes, and the Lord will do whatever level of grace you need. Grace for salvation, grace for sanctification, and the grace to have the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon you. It will do it for you. It will heal you. It will deliver you. He will set you free. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. It tells us in John chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth. As we come, we don't want to just hear another lie. We don't want to hear deception. You come to the crusade, the thing that will set you free is the truth. The truth about Christ. Who is Christ? What can Christ do? What did he do? And what is he doing today? We want to know the truth, because it is when you know the truth will make you free. The truth will make me free. The truth will make me free. It'll make you free from filthiness, all the filthiness in your life. As we come to Christ, what is to do is to cleanse us from all the filthiness. It will cleanse you tonight in Jesus' name. And all the fetters that bind you, it's when we know the truth that Jesus sets free. And he breaks every yoke and every fetter in our lives. He sets us free from the filthiness. He sets us free from the fetters. Tonight, your freedom has come. He sets us free from the fear of man. You want to stand? There's a man there terrifying you and looking at you. Are you going to stand? And then you have fear, you cannot stand. He sets us free from the fear of man. He sets us free from the fear of superstition. This superstition that, you know, people carry. If you, you know, step on this, this will happen. If you say, put your hand there, something bad will happen. Superstition is destroyed in your life tonight in Jesus' name. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Look at verse 36. In verse 36, it says, if the Son, capital S, that's our Savior, if the Son, that's our substitute, the one who went to the cross to die for us, if the Son, that's the final sacrifice, no more sacrifice of goat, of sheep, of chicken, no more sacrifice of animal, he is the final sacrifice. And today, as you look at him, that final sacrifice, everything that binds your life, everything is broken and destroyed in Jesus' name. If the Son, the Savior, if the Son, our substitute, if the Son, the final sacrifice, if the Son, the sanctifier, shall therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Tonight, freedom has come. Your freedom has come. It'll set you free from sin. It'll set you free from sickness. It'll set you free from that satanic suffering. Tonight is your night. Tonight is my night. Jesus, the loving Lord, with limitless liberation. We're looking at three things here. Number one, we're looking at the meaningless life of corruption and condemnation. Number two, the marvelous liberation from carnality and captivity. Number three is the mediatorial love of our conversion, for our conversion and consecration. Look at number one. Number one, we're looking at the lives people live. Meaningless lives, fruitless lives, profitless lives that people live because of their corruption. Why did Christ come? Because he saw us in our corruption. He saw us in our condemnation. And he knew we could not deliver ourselves. Therefore, he came so that all the people that are embedded, all the people that are kind of immersed in corruption, he'll bring us out. He will cleanse us up. He will convert our lives, and condemnation will leave our lives in Jesus' name. Why is your amen so amen? Number one is the meaningless life of corruption and condemnation. You know, if you're living in corruption, the life is meaningless. Corruption in the office. If you have that corruption, your life is meaningless. You are in that office and you do not know how to live. You bear a Christian name, like I bear a Christian name, William. Maybe you bear Stephen. Maybe you bear Joseph. Maybe you bear Mary. Maybe you bear Martha. You bear a Christian name, and yet your life is meaningless in corruption. He wants to take you out of corruption and take corruption out of you. Actually, is that corruption, is that condemnation that destroyed the whole old world? And anywhere there is corruption, an officer is corrupt, a father is corrupt, a mother is corrupt, a son, a daughter, they are corrupt. Anywhere there is corruption, there will be condemnation. Look at Genesis chapter 6. I'm reading from verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Evil continually, sinful continually, powerless continually, and doing things that God had commanded we should not do. And the life is corrupt. And when your life is corrupt like that, don't tell me you're a Christian. A Christian and corruption, they are far apart. When you have corruption, don't tell me. I'm a believer. Believer in what? Believing and corruption, they are far apart. They are separated. You do that corruption in the secret. You do that corruption in the office. You take that thing that doesn't belong to you, that corruption. You are not a believer. It's tonight you are going to become a believer. I said it's tonight you are going to become a believer. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Look at verse 11. In verse 11 it says the earth also was corrupt before God. Maybe you are not corrupt before man. Everybody does it and everybody takes it for granted that corruption is common. Corruption is normal. No, it's abnormal. It's because the whole world is corrupt, and that's what we see every day. And we say, we feel that that is now the normal thing. But before God, corruption is still corruption. Before God, sin is still sin. Before God, evil is still unacceptable. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. That's Old Testament. Come to Matthew, New Testament, and look at chapter 7, verse 17. Here are the words of Jesus Christ. You see, all the thousands of years, more than about 4,000 years before the creation, and Malachi, the Old Testament, corruption. And now we come to the New Testament, and the corruption is still there, was still there in the world. And we come to our situation today. Corruption is still there. It says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every good tree. When you're born again, when your life is turned around and you become a good member of the family of God, you are likened to a good tree, and you bring forth good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. There'll be love in your heart, there'll be peace, there'll be joy, there'll be long suffering, there'll be faithfulness, fidelity, there will be goodness in your life. And all the fruit of the Spirit will be coming out, because even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree, who has the original corruption, who has the human corruption, who has the common corruption of lifestyle. It says, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. A converted person, a changed person, a new creature, a born again man or woman, private or public, anywhere, a good tree cannot, because it's born again, because it's saved. That's what you want to have in your life. Be a good tree, a good child of God, a person that has the grace of God in the heart, and then anywhere you are, in your heart, in your mind, in your action, in your hand. A good tree cannot bring forth evil tree. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. If the heart is corrupt, the language will be corrupt. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If the heart is corrupt, the action also will be corrupt, because from the heart we have all the issues of life. If the heart is corrupt, your behavior, your lifestyle will be corrupt, and it will show you that you are not saved yet, you are not born again yet. Only tonight, as you say, I bring this corrupt heart, I bring it to the Lord, then the Lord will change that heart tonight. The Lord will turn around that life tonight, and then good fruit will be coming out. It says, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. In verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire. It says, why does it cumber the land just like that in vain? There's no fruit of righteousness. There's no fruit of repentance. There's no fruit of restitution. There's no fruit of redemption. And he is a corrupt tree. That life is nothing good to write home, to write to heaven about. Every tree, no matter where the tree is, in the church, in the community, in the family, anywhere, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. I will not be cast into the fire. I will not be cast into the fire. I can't hear you. That means you're going to be converted from your life of corruption. If somebody is, robbing people in the way, robbing people on the highway, and every time he tells himself, I will not be caught, I will not go to jail, I will not be in the prison, I will not suffer. And every time he's telling himself that, and he's going on the highway, and he's robbing people, and he's doing evil, you will be caught. You'll be condemned. And you will get to that jail eventually. No matter who you are, I'm the son of so-and-so, I'm the daughter of so-and-so. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. The only way not to be cast into the fire is that corruption will stop in your life. Corruption will stop in your life. Look at verse 20. In verse 20 it says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Either it's a good tree or it's a corrupt tree. By their fruits ye shall know them. It's not what you call yourself, it's your life, it's your lifestyle. That's why we came to the crusade, so that we bring this dirty heart to the Lord, this defiled heart to the Lord, this carnal nature we bring to the Lord, we bring this corruption to the Lord, and he, the liberator and our Lord, he will set us free in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the meaningless life of corruption and condemnation will be taken away from every one of our lives tonight in Jesus' name. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, I'm reading here from verse 4. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. People who are corrupt, they don't only stay in their corruption. That corruption is contagious. It passes from one to the other. And if good people mix with them, they are so powerful, and they are so convincing, and they are so kind of persuasive in their evil, corrupt way, they corrupt the people that associate with them. It says, children that are corruptors. I want to ask you, what was your life if you were born again? You were born again many years ago. You were upright, you were sincere, you were righteous, you were holy until so and so got attached to you. I'm not talking of marriage, just, you know, it's now your friend, and he is so persuasive in his action, in his lifestyle, and now you are not as righteous as you were before you met that person. Corruption has come into your life. That person is a corrupter. And today, as you come to the Lord, you want to come to the Lord with a sincere heart in repentance, and you say, actually, corruption has come into my life. Deception has come into my life. Lying has come into my life. And desiring the pleasure of sin has come into your life. And now you come to the Lord in repentance. You say, I know every corrupt tree will be hewn down, will be cut down and cast into the fire. I don't want to get into the fire. And all the corruption of your life, you confess. The corruptors in your life, you confess, and you get away, you run away from them, and forgiveness will come. Salvation will come. And when that salvation comes, you keep that salvation and do not allow any corrupter to corrupt you again. And when the Lord will come, or when you will go to the Lord, you'll not be in the fire, you'll be in paradise. You'll be in heaven. Your life will be a life that God, that pleases God, and he will say, come on home, and you'll get home to the Lord in Jesus' name. We're looking at number two here. Number two, we're looking at the marvelous liberation, the marvelous liberation from carnality and captivity. From captivity and then from carnality. Look at Job chapter 42, verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. What? Captivity of Job? Yes. Sickness that came on him is captivity. And all the boils all over the body could not allow him to go out or to do anything. That's captivity. All the loss that he had, and the fire came from the sky and burnt everything, kept him in captivity of fear. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. I don't know what will happen next week. I lost this. I don't know what I will lose again. But when the Lord had mercy on him, all that captivity, all that fear, all that loss, everything vanished away. He will save you tonight from the captivity of sickness. I said he will save you tonight from the captivity of sickness and the captivity of suffering. Job suffered, but when he prayed and the Lord had mercy on him, all that suffering came to an end. Tonight, that suffering in your life will come to an end. And all the things that were negative before, as the Lord visited him, he turned the captivity of Job when he preached for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. When your captivity is canceled tonight, multiplication and increase will come to your life. Prosperity will come to your life. And all the things you desire, Lord, I want this, I want this, and now I'm delivered from that captivity. Everything you will have in Jesus' name. It will heal you tonight. He will deliver you tonight. And all those demonic powers, demonic entities, and demonic spirits that come to put you in captivity, tonight deliverance has come. Look at this. Look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 10. And we're reading from verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. You see, all that Jesus did, he did by the Holy Ghost. And if we are going to do the works that he did, and we're going to enjoy the liberty that he enjoyed, and we're going to enjoy the goodness and the great manifestation of power, we must have also the Holy Ghost and the power. If you're a believer, I'm asking, is the Holy Ghost present in your life? If you're a believer, I'm asking, is the Holy Ghost prominent in your life? That you know, he lives within me. He acts within me. If you're a believer, I'm asking you, is the Holy Ghost preeminent in your life? And as you come to the crusade, as sinners are getting saved, as believers are getting sanctified, you too, you want to have that presence. You want to have the prominence. You want to have the preeminence of the Holy Ghost in your life. And when the Holy Ghost is present and prominent and preeminent, power will be in your life. And when you have a challenge, you'll not be going, you have to be going to somebody every time, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Are you a believer? Yes, I am. Pray for yourself. I cannot. Why can't you? If the Holy Ghost is there in baptismal measure, if the power is there that we get when we're baptized, the Holy Ghost, you will have the power. Now, Jesus has the power. And tonight, that power will work in your life. It will liberate you tonight. It will set you free tonight. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. And he's going about tonight. It's going to get your side there. It's going to get to your side there. Yes, it's going to get you. That's online, anywhere you are. Jesus is the omniscient and the omnipresent one. He comes to you right there and he manifests his power. He went about, he goes about doing good and healing all. How many people did he heal? How many people is he going to heal today? Am I one of them? I said, are you one of them? Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the liberator, the limitless liberator. There is no limit of time. There is no limit of place. There is no limit of nation. There is no limit of individuals. He is the limitless liberator. He will liberate you from that captivity of sickness and that captivity of evil, even tonight in Jesus' name. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, and God is still with him, and he liberates us, and he sets us free. And when he sets us free, we are free. I am free. Remember, he sets us free from captivity. He sets us free from carnality. Hey, look at Romans chapter 8. And I'm reading from verse 5. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. It says, for they that are after the flesh, they that live according to the flesh, they that produce the works of the flesh, they that are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh. That's what they think about in the day. In the night, how they're going to do that fleshly thing. How they're going to have that fleshly pleasure. How they're going to have that fleshly contact. That's what they're planning. And that's all the strategy they have, because they are carnal. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. Doesn't matter your name. To be carnally minded is death. Doesn't matter your profession. To be carnally minded is death. Doesn't matter how people exalt you, elevate you, and you are the best person in their community. If you are carnally minded, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It doesn't like the commandments of God. It doesn't like the demands of God. It doesn't like the desires of God. All it likes is, you know, just himself. Lord, I'm here. Give me water to drink. There, I'm thirsty. Even though I'm carnal, I'm not thinking of pleasing you. I'm not thinking of going your direction. I'm not thinking of obeying you, but I need some water there. And Lord, I need some food there. I know when I get the strength, I'm going to use the strength to contradict you and to oppose you and to disobey you. But give me the food anyhow. They want blessings from God, but they don't want to be obedient to God. They are in enmity against God, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Those are the people that say, there is no law anymore, I can slap you. There's no law anymore, I can steal. There's no law anymore, I'm at liberty. Christ has set me free, they say, and he has set them free to commit adultery. He has set them free to commit fornication. He has set them free to steal. No, you know you are turning the Bible upside down. You are carnal. The carnality that God has recognized, he wants to remove, because the carnal man, the carnal woman, the carnal boy, the carnal girl, the one that is carnal is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's only when Christ comes in. Christ will deliver us from every form of carnality in Jesus' name. And tonight is my night. Tonight is my night. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, it tells us, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in us. I told you, we need to have the spirit in us, the Holy Spirit. And when he is present in our lives, we're saved. We're children of God. And he quickens us. He makes us come alive, because at salvation, he is present. At sanctification, he becomes more present, prominent in our lives. That anywhere we want to go, anything we're thinking, remember, he was present since the time of salvation. Now sanctification is prominent. And when we're baptized in the Holy Ghost, immersed in the Holy Ghost, endued with the Holy Ghost, it becomes preeminent in our lives. If he is present, if he is prominent, if he is preeminent, that spirit that dwells in us will quicken our mortal bodies. Sickness will flee away. oppression will flee away, and all the worry and the anxiety and the fretfulness, everything will vanish away in Jesus' name. Look at verse 32. In verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, delivered him up for us all to be our Savior. He wants everyone to be saved, because Christ, the Savior, Christ, the final sacrifice, Christ, our substitute, died for everyone. His sacrifice is for everyone. He was delivered up for us all. How shall not he with him also freely give us all things? Also freely give us all things. How many things will he give you tonight? How many blessings will he give you tonight? For your spirit, for your soul, for your body. He freely gives us all things. Look at verse 37. In verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He loves us. He died for us. He provides everything for us. And tonight, you'll be more than a conqueror. I will be more than a conqueror, because I open the door, I open the gate, and I say, come in. And he comes in as Savior. And then all the sins that used to put your back on the ground, that used to defeat you, tonight he comes to liberate you, and he comes to set you free. New life. I said new life. Righteousness. That he gives unto the people that he liberates, if the Son, if the Savior, if a substitute, if the sovereign, therefore, will set you free, make you free. You shall be free, and free indeed in Jesus' name. And we're looking at number three now. Number three is the mediatorial love for our conversion and consecration. Our conversion and consecration. Look at those two things together. We're converted. When we're converted, we don't go back to our sin. When we say, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back, that decision marks your conversion. But then, no turning back, no turning back, that marks your consecration. I have decided to follow Christ. Though friends oppose me, still I will follow. That decision, I have decided, that is conversion. And though friends oppose me, still I will follow. That marks your consecration. Consecration is attached to that conversion. I've decided to follow him, follow Jesus. And it says, the world behind me and the cross before me. That decision, I have decided to follow him. That's your conversion. And the world behind me and the cross before me, that is the consecration. You see, they are linked together. You cannot just say, okay, I'm converted, but I'll not commit myself, my life, my character to the Lord. There's no completeness there. The mediatorial love for our conversion and consecration. And I pray it will be done in every life tonight in Jesus' name. And when you do that, he liberates you through and through. He liberates you fully. And your life will be totally different. Will not be like those lives have been before. We're looking at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And I'm reading from verse 9. 1 John chapter 4 verse 9, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Live to please the Lord through him. Live in righteousness through him. He sent his only begotten Son to die for you on the cross of Calvary, so that everything that meant corruption and the condemnation and the carnality and the captivity in your life, the Son that has come tonight, he'll wipe everything away. You become a new creature in the Lord, and now you live a pleasing life, a God-pleasing life through him. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. He loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's through Christ forgiveness comes. It's through Christ freedom comes. It's through Christ liberation comes. It's through Christ the power of the cross will manifest in our lives, and those old bad things, sinful things we used to do, we don't have any interest in them anymore. It's come, and things are different now since I became born again. Different. Things are different now since I became born again. The things I used to drink, I drink them no more. The places I used to go, I go there no more. The violence I used to manifest, I manifest no violence anymore. And the stealing I used to do, I do them no more. And the evil sin that I committed myself to in the past, and I just live like any other person, I don't do that anymore. Things are different now since I became born again. Tonight, you'll be born again. And things will be different. If you've raised up your hand before, but you're still telling the same blatant lies, things are not different. If you say, I raised up my hand, and after you raised up your hand that other night, the following day, you remember how you still were fighting, you're not born again yet. Raising up the hand is good. If that brings conversion, change in your life. But if you still, have all those idolatrous things and all the waistband, I raised up my hand, you're not born again yet. If those things are still there, you're still relying on those idolatrous traditional powers. When we're born again, things are different now. And tonight, that difference will come into your life. Different life. No lies anymore. No fighting anymore. No getting drunk anymore. When we're born again, no marijuana anymore to turn your brain. When we're born again, no sexuality anymore. And say running to the, those nice evil things undercover. When we are born again, things will be totally different. And tonight is that night. I say tonight is your night. It says, herein is love, not that we loved God. No, we didn't love or went to church. Didn't we love God? Didn't we, still do things that God did not appreciate, even though we're going to church? It says, not that we love God, even though we're singing those Christian songs. Did we love God? No, we didn't, because our life did not show that actually Christ has done something in our hearts. God is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice, the atonement for our sins. Look at verse 19 there. In verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. He sent his son to die for us. He loved us. His son sacrificed everything that he had, his very life, so that we can come to God and be reconciled unto God. We love him now because he first loved us. If he has forgiven our sins, well, we love him. If he has set us free, well, we love him. If he had broken the yoke of sinning in our lives, well, we love him. If he has brought us into the family of God, and now we have the joy of salvation and the peace in salvation and the victory in salvation automatically, well, we love him. We love him because he first loved us. And tonight it will happen. I said tonight it will happen. Look at verse 20 there. In verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. If a man say, I love God and hated his brother, he is, tell me. Amen. Tell me out aloud. Amen. I remember when I was born again, there was this friend, you know, we're friends together. And when we became, you know, we'll go to, you know, a kind of church together where we beat the drums and dance and all that. And then I became born again. My life became different. And actually, I had, you know, helped him to write exam GCE. Ordinary level, and he passed that mathematics because I was the one that wrote that. But when I became born again, my life changed, and I made restitution, and I told him I've made restitution, and he was still a churchman. He hated me. Hated me like what they say in our place, like shit. He hated me, and I would say good morning. He would look at me and frown because I did the right thing. Because a change came into my life. He didn't like that change. But I'm the one born again, and I still loved him. The following morning when I see him, because we're living close together, teaching in the same school, and I say good morning, and he would look at me like, don't greet me. After all, you say you are saved, I am not saved. And I kept on greeting him and greeting him and greeting him. If we say, I love God and hated our brother, we are liars. And eventually, when I will not leave him alone, he looked at me one day. He said, okay, good morning. Then the following day, I greeted him again. When you are born again, there's no malice. When you are born again, there's no animosity. When you are born again, there's no reaction. You do the right thing. And eventually, this man I'm talking about eventually followed me to a gospel church. And then he too, he became born again. Your friends will become born again. Your foes will become born again. The people that react to you because you do the right thing, you will not say because they frown. Because they will not answer me, therefore you hate them. No. Therefore you change and compromise. No. The right thing you know to do, you continue in that. Because if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Today, he will liberate us. From that malice, he will liberate you. From that animosity, he will liberate you. From reacting to the people that are good, born again, and are standing for righteousness. And you discover that you hate that righteousness. It will liberate you from the hatred tonight in Jesus' name. It's come to liberate us from corruption. It's come to liberate us from condemnation. It's come to liberate us from the captivity of our sickness. He has come to liberate us from the carnality that does not please God. He has come to liberate us into conversion and into consecration. And tonight, he will set you free. Am I talking to somebody there tonight? Tonight, he'll set you free in Jesus' name. Think about what you will be when there's no corruption in your heart, in your life, when there is no condemnation in your heart, in your life, when there is no captivity of sickness in your body, when there's no carnality in your behavior. What will you be? You'll be a real child of God going to heaven in Jesus' name. Your time has come. My time has come. Praise the Lord. This is the time. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Today you understand that's not just raising up your hand and the corruption is still there. You now want to have real conversion, real change of heart, a real change of life. And you say, this is what I want. I don't want to be a corrupt tree, bringing forth corrupt fruit, and eventually I'm cut down and I'm cast into the fire, everlasting fire, eternal fire. I want real conversion, and I want real change, and I want real transformation. Wherever you are, Christ is ready to forgive you. Wherever you are, Christ is ready to turn your life around for the better. Wherever you are, Christ is ready to give you complete forgiveness and complete freedom. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You want this real deliverance, liberation from corruption. Wherever you are, raise up that hand. God bless you there. God bless you there. You're making up your mind. You want conversion. You're making up your mind. You are really going to consecrate your life to the Lord. You'll not be up and down. You'll not be raising up your hand and going back to the vomit of before. You want this conversion and this salvation. Wherever you are, raise up that hand and say, Lord, I'm here now. I mean this. Now I want this. Now I desire this. Real change, real transformation, and real conversion. If you're raising up your hand, God bless you, please stand up. Please stand up. You're saying, this is what I want. Salvation. This is what I want. New life in righteousness. This is what I want. Freedom from anger, and freedom from hatred, and freedom from keeping malice. This is what I want. Wherever you are, you're raising up your hand and you want that love of God to be established in your heart, you stand up. Online, the same thing. And you're watching over the television, you're listening over the radio, and you're saying, this is what I want. Total liberation and total freedom and real salvation that changes the heart, that changes the mind, that changes the behavior, that changes even your feeling. You want that. Wherever you are, you're watching on television, you're over there on the radio, you are there online, you want this change and transformation. You raise up your hand and you stand up. I'm praying for you now. The Lord will set you free. I didn't hear your amen there. Keep on standing. Keep your hand up. And you know why you raised up your hand today. You know, you are asking the Lord for total conversion. I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. Though friends oppose me, yet I'll keep following. No turning back. That's why you're standing. And the Lord will confirm that salvation in your heart there tonight in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, well, thank you, because this is what you want to do in every life. You don't enjoy our just being religious and remaining in corruption and becoming corruptors. You want to take corruption away from our heart, convert us completely, and we will not be corruptors anymore in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray all these who have raised up their hands in sincerity and they are standing and they say they know they cannot save themselves, but you are the Savior. I pray, bring the salvation to every heart, a transformation to every heart, a regeneration in every heart, conversion in every heart right now in Jesus' name. Send your spirit to bear witness with their hearts. They're now children of God. Holy Spirit, I pray you'll be present in their lives. And that every day and every step, they'll be walking according to your word in Jesus' name. And for those who are saved already, I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, become prominent in their heart. Sanctify them. Purify them. Let the rain of righteousness come upon their lives in Jesus' name. For those who have the Holy Spirit present and prominent, I pray the Holy Spirit will be preeminent in their lives. Power from on high. Power to do your will. Grant to everyone in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you confirm your salvation, eternal life in everyone who has believed on you today. Thank you, Lord. It is done. It is done. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Keep on standing. Our counselors are there with you, and we'll call on our moderating overseer to come and help us during this time. And after this counseling session, I'll come back, and every captivity of sin and Satan will be broken and destroyed from your life.
Congratulations, please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All of us who are standing, be patient with those of us who are with you. Just give them all the basic information needed. All this information are meant to help you. So give us all these informations. All our counselors, locate them where they are. And collect all those informations. This also is going on online. Fill all those forms. And those of us who are sitting down, use this time to prepare your heart for the miracles ahead of us. Counselors, make sure you cover every area, far, front and back. And make sure your information are clearly given so that it will be useful for us to help you. We're waiting for you. Do it on time. Very soon, our Father in the Lord will be coming up. Prepare your heart. Be expecting something greater from God. Just make sure everything is done. Be patient with God. You are going to be located with your problem tonight, with the solution from above. Just make sure all the information needed from you are giving us. Counselors, you will be signified by raising up the flags to tell us that you have completed your work. And those of us who are sitting down, you're waiting for the goodness of God. It will never pass you by. And for those of us who are surrendered our life to God today, we need to remind you of the convert banquet that is coming up in every region, and not only here in the Alpha location, other locations all over the continent and the globe where this crusade is being aired. Let's take note of that. Excuse me. Any other information on the luncheon? And we need to remind you again, the 3 p.m. luncheon coming up here. For all of us, and for those of us who have been coming, you've surrendered your life. 3 p.m., right here in this venue, the counselor will give you this information. Very, very important. All these arrangements are meant to help you. Make the best use of them. And let's remind again, September 3rd, the first Sunday of this month, is not only located or limited to this Alpha location. In all the various regions in the country and the other locations, we have this convert banquet here in the Alpha location, at the headquarters church of all the regions. Please take note of that. We're waiting for you, counselors. while we're waiting for them, you're also looking up to God. Tonight will be your night. Counselors, yeah, I can see the flags up at the back. I can see it up in the center here, far away by my left hand. If you have done, raise up your flags at the back. We're still waiting for you. Don't be in a hurry. Make sure you collect all the necessary information. Far away, okay, I can see the flat up. By my left, we are still waiting. Any flag? Okay. We're getting ready. Far away at the center. If you are done, please raise up the flags. We're waiting. At the back. In the center. Be patient. Yeah, we can see the flags. Anyone at the back? Okay, we can see it at the back. Yeah, we can see it by the left. Please, if you are not being attended to and you are still standing, raise up your hands so the counselor can see you. You are ready. You are ready. I believe you are ready.
Praise the Lord. I am ready. Ready for my healing. Ready for my miracle. Ready for deliverance. The Lord is also ready for you. He will touch you right there. He'll heal you right there. Whatever challenge you have, He is our loving Lord with limitless liberation. He'll liberate you tonight. Raise up that hand and lay the other hand where you have your challenge, where you have the sickness, where you have the bondage, where you have that captivity. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He's coming to your side right there. He's going to heal you right there. Every kind of sickness, whatever the name, tonight is your night of liberation. At the final amen, before you even open your eyes, you believe it's done already. And as you open your eyes, you begin to do what you were not able to do before. Miracle tonight. He's ready for you and you are ready for him. We're praying now, Father, in Jesus' name. Loving Lord, we appeal to you. We're asking you, bring limitless liberation to everyone tonight in Jesus' name. Everything that binds, everything that causes pain, I pray, Lord, come with your mighty power, liberate, heal, deliver everyone in Jesus' name. That demon I command you, get out in Jesus' name. All those spirits walking about in the body, I command you, go out in Jesus' name. All those things, demonic rashes in your body, are you always scratching? I command, be healed in Jesus' name. Every form of swelling, that goiter will go tonight. Hunchback, you are leaving tonight. Elephantiasis, you are going tonight. Lord, you did it before, do it again. Swelling, come out in Jesus' name. Hernia, you are healed in Jesus' name. Fibroid, you are removed in Jesus' name. Lord, confirm it on everyone. I pray for those who have incurable so-called disease like cancer. You will not die. You will live. Cancer, be healed in Jesus' name. Ulcer, peppery sensation in that stomach, the peace, refreshing, like cold milk is coming there right now. Ulcer, be healed in Jesus' name. Kidneys that have stopped working, and then you have to go for dialysis. Lord, I pray, life. Resurrection life, reviving life will come to those kidneys now in Jesus' name. Pain of appendicitis, you are healed in Jesus' name. Those blind eyes, cataract, glaucoma, whatever dimness of sight, I pray, be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, let brightness, clarity come to those dim eyesight now. Open your eyes and see clearly in Jesus' name. Deaf and dumb, I pray the Lord touch those deaf ears now. Loosen those dumb tongues now. Be healed in Jesus' name. Pain in every joint. You can't trace the hand. You can't bend the hand. In the elbow, in the shoulder, in the wrist, and all the knees and everything. Relief is coming to you right now. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, every internal sickness, every external sickness, weakness, deformity, touch them right now and give them complete liberation, limitless liberation, a clear liberation and healing and deliverance for everyone in Jesus' name. It is done. It is confirmed. And when we open our eyes now, you will see it is done. And you will do what you were not able to do before. Receive your miracle. Receive your healing. Receive your deliverance. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have done it. In Jesus' name we pray.